Well, this is the hour. We'll take your phone calls. Jay Widener with us, Archons, and Shasta. All of those next on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Jay Widener with us, producer Shasta. Also, we'll talk about Archons. Jay, you said Shasta's a volcano. Can that thing ever blow?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
It could blow, yeah. It could be really ugly, too. I mean, if that thing went the way they think it could go, it could spew enough dust to, you know, shut down America for a few days.
Is it somewhat connected to what I think a lot of these volcanoes are connected underground to, like Mount St. Helens?
Oh, yeah, it's part of that chain. It's the southern end of the Cascadia chain, which is all volcanoes, all the way up to Mount Baker in northern Washington state. So there's about eight or nine of them there in a row, and every one of them is still very, very close to going at any time.
Do people pray to the mount?
Oh, yeah, people worship Mount Shasta. They love it. You know, there's different kinds of people. They're not just spiritual. There's a lot of people who are mountain climbers and hikers that live there. And a lot of Sherpas like to climb Mount Shasta, for instance. So there's a lot of different kinds of people that go through there. But I would say mostly it's a very spiritual kind of community.
When you were there, were you looking for entrances into the mount where perhaps UFOs could come and go?
Oh, absolutely. I was all over the place. I was at satellite maps. I was looking at crevices. I've talked to hikers and skiers and looking all over the place for it. I wanted to, at one point, do a horse ride expedition for a week, but apparently you can't ride a horse past the a certain point because it's all private property. So I couldn't do that. So yeah, I've been all over the place trying to find out every answer I can, and I've come away convinced that there's something going on there for sure.
Were there openings there that you thought, hey, you know what, a UFO could go in there and or come out?
Oh, absolutely. I feature one in our film.
Huh.
Where the lead actor, Alex Belinsky, walks into this gigantic opening that's, you know, at the base of Mount Shasta. It's just huge. It's part of this lava tube system. You know, another thing about these lava tubes, which is interesting, is Nassim Harriman, the physicist, he was once on YouTube. I was watching a YouTube of him, and he was saying how lava tubes, because they're round and they're super encrusted minerals, that they almost could act like portals, Stargate portals, and postulating that, you know, energy would start whipping around in a circular fashion down these long tubes. And I was fascinated by it, and I called him up, and I got his number, and I called him up, and I was talking to him about it, and you know, came away with this whole different idea that possibly lava tubes can actually cause, like, trans-dimensional objects to pass from, you know, one place to another. He seemed pretty convinced that could be true, and so, I mean, it's very interesting.
Let's take a few calls here for you, Jay. This hour is going to fly by. We go to Jane in Fallbrook, California, west of the Rockies, to get things going. Hey, Jane, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hi, Jay. I'm going back to the Archons, but my jaw dropped when we were talking about it because there's a school back in Thomaston, Georgia, that's teaching about this, but they're also showing how to get rid of them, and it's actually a little church called Pleasant Valley Church.
Church, Jane.
It's led by this. Have you ever heard of it?
No, not at all.
What do they do there, Jane?
Well, it comes from a Christian angle, but they're actually learning and putting together a database now on all the principalities and powers that they're seeing and their personalities of it and how to combat them. And I'm shocked. I've been there back to Georgia twice now, and it's just amazing every time I go back there.
Oh, I would love it if you could email me some information on that. Go to jaywidener.com and just email me there. I would love to find out about this. Yeah.
Their website is beinhealth.com.
Be in health?
They're discovering be in health, like, you know, you want to have good health.
Okay, good.
So they're discovering the spiritual causes of disease, which that's what attracted me. So I wanted to go back there and see what that was all about.
All right.
Yeah, well, that is the cause of diseases. It's usually a spiritual problem. But, you know, I really think that actually Christianity, the origins of Christianity, were actually a rebellion against the Archons. I think that's what the story of Jesus is on a political level. He was fighting when he found out that they turned the Holy Temple into a money exchange. He got really angry.
He went nuts.
Yeah, I think that
I should say ballistic.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that was the end of him at that point. They realized that they were dealing with someone who wasn't going to stop, and they had to get rid of him.
Are the Archons, are they the fallen angels?
They could be, yeah. Because, I mean, definitely the Nag Hammadi says that they come from off-planet, so what, you know, a fallen angel is implied that they fell here from somewhere else. So I would say, yeah. In fact, I kind of think that the Archons are kind of the theory that explains all these disparate things that we're dealing with, demons, fallen angels, devils, tempters. And once we understand that it's really more like a spiritual parasite, which you open yourself up to with unethical behavior. So when you lie or you do something wrong, you're not necessarily having an archon come in you, but you're opening the possibility up that a parasite can get in there.
That's right.
And that's what you got to watch out for, and that's why you don't want to lie and cheat and steal, is because it'll affect your own health, which is what that previous Jane just said, and that's exactly right. That's this church is teaching that, you know, diseases starts with a spiritual problem. Well, that they've got it nailed. That's exactly right.
Are they or are they not demons?
Yeah, they are. They're okay. Demons. I think there are. I think that the demons is just the Christian name for archons.
Let's go to first-time caller Bev in Dayton, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Hi, Beverly. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hi.
Jay.
Yes.
I have a question for you. About 6 months ago at work when we were closing, I found a piece of aragonite with a note wrapped around it. And I hung on to it. I thought my boss just said throw it away, but I just kept it because it was unusual. It was a piece of wax. They had metal shavings and a dark crystal in the center of it, and on the opposite side, there is some writing. It doesn't look like Egyptian, but it's all encased in a piece of amber wax.
Well, that's wild.
Yeah, it says, you've been gifted by a piece of aragonite. And it said, Dr. Wilhelm
Reich. Wilhelm Reich,
yeah.
Yeah, he discovered the universal energy called argon, and he was put in jail.
Argon. Yes, he was put in jail in the 50s. He actually died in jail for his beliefs, actually.
Yeah, and it said they burned his books.
Yes, they did.
And, yeah, and then they said this went on 400 years before the New Testament. They were called argons. They're trans-dimensional beings in our solar system. They hate and they're jealous of humans. They seek our destruction and feed off our fears, violence, and death. They influence humans through telepathy and virtual reality. Read Jay Widener's article, Rays of the Archons, and it's signed Diogenes.
Well, that's wild.
This is really wild. Getting through to you, too, I thought was wild, too, but I've not melted it down or anything, but it's, like I said, there's a paper inside with some unusual writing, a dark crystal, and some metal shavings, and it's all in amber wax.
Well, maybe somebody's come up with a way to ward off the archons, and you got really lucky.
Why does it seem, Jay, that, you know, years ago, not too long ago, but years ago, that they were more into this, they studied it more than they do now, other than with people like you who are trying to educate people again?
Well, I actually think that, you know, the Archons got rid of them. I think that there was a systematic effort to destroy all the groups that were talking about them. I think it started with Jesus, actually. I think that he was the first warrior against the Archons, or the first warrior we know. And don't forget, the Nag Hammadi come from that area of the world. I mean, it was found in Egypt, but just, you know, not that far away from where Jesus walked. And I think that he inspired kind of a rebellion, which was finally put down by Titus in 66 AD, you know, in Jerusalem. And the Romans became like the center of archonic power. where they were not really caring too much about the peasants out in the hinterlands, and were, if you read like Gibbon's Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire, they were really rather hideous to each other.
It is just amazing what's out there that people just aren't even aware of.
It is, and that's the thing that's going on, is that we got the internet and we're starting to collate a lot of this reality, and you know, smarter people are beginning to realize that there's a lot in common between psychiatry and what the ancients were saying about these beings. And you can see that as soon as we start talking about the Archons, everybody wants to talk about them.
Sure do.
I've already gotten like 6 emails about them. and I don't know why that is. I just decided to come out a few years ago about it, and it's been one of the most amazing things to watch I've ever seen.
Could we be living next to Archons and not even know it? I mean, do they live in houses? And?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're people. They look just like people. And
do they have children?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Or they probably are rather screwed up children, but yeah, they have children.
Maybe they're the black-eyed kids.
Exactly.
That Wesley
like that.
Talks about.
Yeah, maybe that's their children. It could be. But no, you know, I've known psychopaths and archons, and they had children, and usually the children were just like them, actually. So I think it's kind of a contagion. That's the thing. So, you know, you're a peaceful person, and someone attacks you viciously for no reason, and you have a choice in that after that attack. You can, you know, forgive that person, get rid of them, get them out of your life, and go on, or you can learn from the experience and realize that you can be just as manipulative and psychopathic as that person to get what you want. So you got to be careful when you encounter these beings, because you could actually have it rub off on you a little bit.
We're talking with Jay Widener this hour here on Coast to Coast AM about his work, his new film called Shasta, and also his past work on Archons. And let's go now to Steve, truck driving in Louisiana, east of the Rockies. Steven, you're up with us.
Yes, sir. Good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I spent some time on Mount Shasta myself. I was last there in 1987 during the harmonic convergence.
I was there,
but,
too.
I was up at the 13,000-foot level that night, sitting there on a calf skin. But you brought up Saint Germain, and I wanted to. I'm not sure if you know the deal on him. In the town of Shasta is an I Am sanctuary. Are you familiar with it at all?
Oh yeah, I've been there. I've been to the bookstore
okay.
and everything.
Been there, done that, Jay.
Yep.
Okay, because Unveiled Mysteries tells you where Saint Germain really originated, and that he's actually an ascended master.
Yeah,
and it's odd that you know, I'm not sure who it is that just mentioned the black-eyed children.
That was
but,
me. That was me.
I feel like that really ties into the Archons, and I think that human souls are what they're after, and there is a great power in Mount Shasta that's just I've seen things there during the convergence that if I hadn't seen them, I'd call you a liar, you know. But I've seen that kind of stuff for myself. It's just incredible. And I just wanted to say that, and you know, thank you guys for thank you, George,
for
doing this topic, and it's keep doing what you're doing. It's great, man.
You got
great.
It, my friend. Drive carefully out there. Truck drivers keeping this country going, Jay.
That's right. Hey, I remember him. I was there on Mount Shasta during the convergence, so, well, not really. There was about 40,000 people there. But he's absolutely right about Count Saint Germain, and you know, I feature Neil Donald Walsh in the movie, plays him, and I play him straight down the line guy as the Mount Shasta I Am people lore plays him. I don't deviate from their whole thing. Not because I'm a believer in what they believe in, but just because I thought what they believe in was kind of cool for a plot in a movie. So, you know, I definitely stay within the realms of what Count Saint Germain is as far as Mount Shasta. And in the movie, Mount Shasta is the place where you might say the rebellion against the New World Order is fomented.
Is Mount Shasta on a ley line?
Oh, yeah. Huge ley line. One of the biggest in the United States, yeah. And that's, I think, why it's one of the reasons it's so powerful. I actually believe there's a military presence secretly around Mount Shasta on the east side. There's a road, a lonely road called Military Road, which I don't know why it's named that. But there, you'll see reports of people on the east side will have frequently reports of seeing guys with fatigues and soldiers coming out of the ground, like, you know, you have some kind of underground bunker there.
Wow.
Like, maybe they're watching what's going on
sure.
there.
It's like Denver.
Yeah, right.
Denver Airport.
Denver Airport, exactly.
Something's
right.
going on there, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Next up, we go to John in Los Angeles. Hey, John, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Hey. Good.
Hey.
Say, the last 40 years I've been working with the beings out of Shasta, spiritual beings in Mount Shasta and the Grand Tetons and other mountain ranges throughout the country and the planet. And can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I can.
And we've been going after the Archons for a long, long time, you know, and you can't take them on physically by yourself. You need help from higher forces and, you know, like Elohim and archangels of the light. To go after these beings. We've gone after them ever since they fell with Lucifer, Satan, and the devil. They are fallen angels, and they fell from the higher realms of light. And one-third of them fell, came to planet Earth 450,000 years ago after going to other planets and doing destruction and everything. And they are the ones that control the banks, the news media, control everything. And like I said, we've been going after them since they fell, 2 million years ago they fell. And we've been going after them ever since. But you need the help from the higher beings.
How do you go after them?
You invoke the presence of the seven archangels, Archangel Michael and Faith, Jophiel and Christine, Archangel Uriel and Zachiel. Archangel, you know, you got to know their names, and you got to invoke their presence, and you got to sit down and take it serious, and you got to clean yourself up. You got to get off all kind of meat eating and clean your body up from all toxins because they live off of that.
What do you think of that, Jay?
Well, I think he's really going to like my movie. That's what I think.
Now, they may control the media, but they don't control me, Mr. Widener.
No, they don't control me. And, you know, they do control the major media. But as you know, George, they don't control all the media. And there's still outlets, and we're still getting things out. And, in fact, their control is falling apart. And we're starting to gain control of the media. That's the good news about the last 15 years. We're gaining control of the media finally for the first time. Movies like mine couldn't even have been made 15 years ago for the money that I put into the movie, which was still substantial to a small person like me, but nothing compared to Hollywood. And, you know, nowadays with the technology and a little bit of imagination, you know, low-budget movies can be made into epics.
Though I was approached by two strange gentlemen tonight who asked me not to put you on.
Really?
Oh, no, I'm kidding. But you never know, right?
No, you never do.
I would suspect if they're listening to this broadcast right now, they're cringing, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I'm sure they are.
They don't want this kind of publicity.
No, they don't. In fact, I've been told there's a great danger in people who bring forth the knowledge of the Archons.
Oh, great.
Well, you're not the worry. It'll be me. You're just helping me. But I don't find that at all. And I find that it really does boil down to living an ethical
life.
Well,
you protect yourself. We're going to come back with final questions. And your phone calls with Jay Widener on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, incredible story about Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. It's 12,000 years old. Is it the genesis of the gods? So make sure you're part of that program. And talking about programs, how would you like to watch our television show, Beyond Belief? It is one of the fastest-growing internet-based shows out there dealing with just superb subjects, and you're going to love it. You can look at it, watch it, digest it, and other programs too, 10 days free. Simply go to our website, beyondbelief.com, and fill out the information. That's www.beyondbelief.com. Welcome back. Jay Widener with us, of course, Archons and Shasta, the feature film Shasta. And again, Jay, people want to watch the film. What do they do? Where do they go?
Okay, go to sacredmysteries.com or ShastaMovie.com, and you can see the trailer at Shasta Movie, and we will direct you on exactly how you can see the film. Just stay tuned. We're going to bring it out to theaters, and we're going to bring it out on iTunes. It's all going to be brought out over the next few months.
That's super.
Yeah.
Super. You're excited about this, aren't you?
I am. I've wanted to make a film that had some kind of meaning to it, feature film, because I've been making a lot of documentaries for a long time. I made a feature film many, many years ago, and I really enjoyed the experience. I love working with actors, so it was a real joy.
Super. Let's go back to some calls. We've got Miranda in San Rafael, California, west of the Rockies. Miranda, go ahead.
Well, hi. Can you hear me?
I sure can.
Yep.
Loud and clear.
Okay. I've gone up to Mount Shasta many times camping right on the mountain, and I've had several really interesting experiences. First, I'm a sensitive, and so it's a big, I guess you could call it, the whole place is like a portal. And I don't know if that's quite, I think there's many portals around it, but it's like one big multidimensional. It just draws, you know, things, being people, energy from all over. And so, you know, it can also set off a big cleansing in you if you go and stay for a while. The first time I went, I got really sick with a flu. And I was told that there were, like, ascension symptoms, that the mountain was cleansing me. But I've also had experiences seeing, you know, with others, too, that are very, one particular young guy who is a channeler, amongst other things. He's in the movie industry, actually, but he was also a very expert channeler, and he was sitting on, there's an area called the Rock of the Ascension, or the Ascension Rock.
Yep.
And that's supposed to be a very, it's, I can feel that the energy is very powerful right at that particular place. Have you been there, Jay?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. And that's an area where I have seen personally, through my second sight, an ET race that I think was probably the Syrians. And anyways, back to the Chandler guy, and we were there with one of the authors to one of the Talos books, and that you can find in the bookstores there. And we did a special. He was channeling. I forget which ET rays at first, but then all of a sudden he was interrupted by the Lemurians, and then he started channeling the Lemurians sitting right on the Rocket Ascension. We were right outside, right on the. On this particular unusual rock formation with really strong, powerful energy. And so we had been instructed to visualize some things and kind of bring in energies from both below the earth and from above and create this rose. And it was supposed to be really a positive, like, seeding that we were planting there. Energetically, and there was a lot to it, and I don't remember very the details. It was a few years back now, but also I was part of an extra in a movie that the National Geographic Spanish Channel did there a few years back as well, on underground cities, and Mount Shasta was just one of them. They were featuring several such cities around the world. There was one in, I don't know if it was Brazil or somewhere in
South
America.
Yeah, there are many, Jay, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, there's they're in the Andes, they're in the Himalayas, and they're in Mount Shasta in the Americas. And, yeah, I mean, there's these stories from all over the world about, you know, I call them relic races, races that grew up alongside us, the human beings, Homo sapiens, that are, you know, similar to us, but they went separate, and they don't want anything to do with us. And, you know, maybe in a way they have a point. I mean, we're not exactly the greatest, you know, group of beings. And anyway, yeah, I really think that there's a lot of credibility to that kind of thesis.
Would you say these archons are dangerous to us?
Oh, yeah, they're the most dangerous thing on the planet. They're more dangerous than a room full of tigers. And I think, you know, it is the problem that the awakened human race, being awakened by the Internet and by, you know, spiritual things, that is going to be the problem that we face, that we have to get rid of. And we're slowly recognizing that that is probably the source of our anxieties.
All right, let's go back to some more callers. We've got Jason truck driving out there in Arkansas. Go ahead, Jace. Thanks.
Hey, George. Hey, Jay. How you guys doing tonight?
Okay.
Hey, Jason.
Oh, I got one for you. I think I know one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Go for it.
When you describe the emotionalist, the lack of care and concern,
yep,
the displacement of all of it, you know, I'm serious. I think I know one. And here's my question in knowing one. What if you turn them around?
You can't.
No way. Huh?
Well, don't do it. That's the worst mistake. I speak from experience. I know exactly why you're perplexed and bewildered. Believe me, I know. And don't waste your time trying to change them. It's endemic. It's within their physique. It's physiological. I don't think you can. I've never met anyone who's ever turned them around. The lady said that there's a church that's figuring out a way to do it. Okay, well, that's fair enough. I'm willing to listen. But the major advice from experts is to exit stage left.
Right. Well, that would be my normal reaction as well. Here's my thing, though. I've gotten to a point in my life where it's, okay.
So, Jay, let me ask you this. What if you fall in love with one of these?
Well, it happens a lot, and generally it does not come out well. So what happens is, you know, usually you meet and it's awesome. What they do is they watch you, and as they communicate with you, they see, and they're very perceptive. They see what excites you and what you are repulsed by, and they begin accentuating, you know, that which excites you. So you can imagine what happens at the beginning of the relationship. It's pretty cool, and there's a lot going on. But what happens is that generally they have a plan. That plan is to get your money or your power or your life force or all three, most likely. And, you know, all the good stuff ends. And then pretty soon you get the other side, which is what you don't want to see, which is manipulation, greed, stealing, lying, and they will destroy your life. I'm not saying that the woman who recorded Donald Sterling is a psychopath or an archon, but I'm saying that kind of behavior is very what you might call archonic. To record someone just to do a shakedown, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I what he said was reprehensible, but at the same time, what she did was also
reprehensible. Yeah, it was a double whammy.
It really was.
Do they trick you? Do they go on
all
dating services and stuff like that, like trying to prey on people?
Well, yeah, that is the modus operandi. In fact, you know, the biggest trick that they pull on us is what the archons don't understand is love. They just don't understand it. They don't get why a man and a woman would want to be together. They don't understand why someone would love their dog. They don't get it. They act like they've got it, but they don't get it. And so when you watch a lot of the media, you will see this kind of facsimile of culture, not a real culture. You'll see people that aren't really the people like you and I know. They're weird and strange and odd, and this is the work of the archons trying to convince us that it's okay to be psychopathic, and it's okay. It's in some way it's good for society to have these people around, and they're working overtime right now to convince us of this. And you know, there's myriad examples of their propaganda machine, because people like Robert Hare and a lot of other brave people are coming out and talking about, you know, psychopaths and brain function and how their brain is different and how they don't have the ability to empathize. And then, you know, people like me and John Lash are comparing this to the ancient texts and saying, wow, this is exactly what the Nag Hammadi said the Archons were. Then you equate that with the word rulers, and I think everything becomes kind of clearer.
Sure does. Let's go to Ron. He's truck driving right by Mount Shasta.
All right.
See what's going on there. Go ahead, Ron. What's up?
Well, I'm driving by her, like I say, right now, and all I ever see out here are bears and wild weather.
Keep. Don't stop.
Yeah, it's, like I say, on a full moon, it's absolutely beautiful to look at.
Does it feel differently, Ron, when you drive by it as opposed to other places?
Well, something I noticed, I drive by here twice a night, 5 days a week, is that it has its own weather pattern.
It does.
It really does. That's what I've noticed most about it is temperature changes up and down. It's a very cool mountain, especially on a full moon.
You're right, and it attracts those vorticular clouds, which create all these swirling winds. And then in the winter, you'll get these tremendous, like, 4-foot snowfalls in, like, 3 hours, creating complete havoc on 5 there.
I can tell you about the snowfall. I got to put chains on here 4 times a night sometimes.
Yeah, you've got to do that. Those of us in the Midwest, we know what chains are like on your tires. Jay, I don't think you ever had to worry about that, have you?
Oh, yeah. I've gone over Mount Shasta with chains on my tires.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. It's a treacherous experience, let me tell you, when you can't see 5 feet in front of you with the snow falling so fast. It's scary.
How much of a problem is this Archon situation?
It's the number one problem, and I'm not trying to be, you know...
dramatic.
Yeah, but I think it's our number one problem. And, you know, I'm grateful that people like David Icke have now taken up the Archon as the enemy. And as, I don't want to say enemy, because that's playing in the Archon trap. They're not our enemy. They're a parasitic thing that we have to take care of, like all parasites, which means, you know, you have to get up and you have to clean yourself out. And once we identify their behavior, I think this is going to happen. I think it's already happening. We're going to identify their behavior, and then businesses and corporations are going to start incorporating kind of psychopath tests to get these people weeded out because they're really deleterious to corporate life.
That's an interesting take. I think that Kim Jong-un in North Korea is one.
Oh, my goodness. He seriously is one. In fact, he should be the poster boy of them. I mean, that guy, he is complete one. The way he talks, if you value his words, he's always talking about himself, referencing himself in every situation. And you'll say, well, what does that mean? Well, that's because psychopaths aren't interested in anything else but themselves. So they will always reference themselves.
Good point.
It's one of the keys.
Good point. Jeff is in Rexville, Ohio, on the wild card line. Hey, Jeff, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask, yes, if you thought Mount Shasta might connect it with Mount Lassen. Have you ever heard of Mount Lassen?
Oh, yeah. Mount Lassen is part of the volcanic chain that's part of the whole entire chain there of the Cascadians.
Does it have that Mount Shasta feel to it, Jay?
Oh, yeah, they all do. Mount Adams, Mount Lassen, Mount Hood. Which is, by the way, is where the hotel that Stanley Kubrick used in The Shining is at, just to round us out here, and all the way up to Mount Baker on the Canadian border.
Bob is in Martinez. Oh, go ahead.
And don't forget the first UFO sightings were by Mount Rainier.
That's right. Kenneth Arnold.
Yep.
Bob is in Martinez, California. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello, George and Jay. How are you?
Hey,
Bob.
Great.
Thank you.
I wanted to respond to a woman who called a few calls back, and she said that she received some object that looked like it was wax with metal in it and a crystal.
The hell is
that? I know what that is. Why I'm responding is that she said she was going to melt it down, and it's not wax. It's epoxy resin. And
big difference.
These things are supposedly... orgone generators that basically all the information is anecdotal, and the small ones are called chembusters, and they were they went viral on the internet, and they were supposed to break up chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
So
interesting.
And it's all anecdotal, and it's orgone, O-R-G-O-N-E, versus what you're talking about, argon.
You're right.
Yeah. Jay had that. Jay, you had corrected her.
Yeah.
And again, that was William Reich, right?
Wilhelm Reich.
Yep.
And he believed that a force called orgon, which permeates life around the Earth. And
he was right.
He was. And the archons that actually, you could say, are against orgon.
Let's go next to Lori in Redding, California, west of the Rockies.
Hey, here we go.
Lori, go ahead.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for sharing on this very interesting topic. I've actually lived near Mount Shasta now 10, 11 years.
Good.
Came from the L.A. area, was drawn here completely by the vibration of what you were sharing, Jay.
Yep.
And I wanted to impart and share this, not so much like a public service announcement or scary warning, but there is an individual portraying himself as the Count Saint Germain who has all the features that you're describing of an archon. So go figure.
Where is he?
He lives in Mount Shasta. He's a musician. He does a lot of interesting things to kind of blend and fit in. Wears a lot of purple, maybe had plastic surgery to kind of look like many of the pictures that you see of the traditional.
Really?
Pictures of Germain.
Do you think he is or not?
Oh, now I do not think this individual that's been there is at all like
at
him.
All.
He has
okay.
memorized music, chanting tones, prayers, mantras.
He's got it down.
I think the IAM Foundation has kind of banned him from their library and their estate that they have up there. And, has all the features of someone who will con people, convince people, seduce people, get their money, has no job, hangs around skateboarding kids. So, again, he's kind of looking like someone who will blend, fit, if you understand. If you've ever been to Mount Shasta, it's an extremely small community,
yep.
a couple small streets, and the economy has really kind of affected a small town like this. So there's more locals coming out that they know who this person is. They've heard from other
people
that he is not who he says he is.
Got to watch out for him. He probably stands right out. Jay, we're almost out of time. But I want to thank you for spending a couple hours with us, Mr. Widener.
Hey, no problem, George. You're one of my favorite people on earth.
You take care of yourself. Jay Widener's websites are all linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And do take a look at his film, Shasta. You will really get into it, indeed. Up next, we're going to talk about another Earth-like mystery. This one's 12,000 years old.